When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Promised Land podcast with me, Scott Saunders, talking all things Manchester United. Hope you're all good, hope you're all well. It's been a couple of weeks since I've recorded and I do apologise for that. I'll explain in a little while why I've been away, but I am back on what is a pivotal day potentially in the future of Manchester United in the immediate short term and in the relative long term as well. It seems like there's a big decision to be made today. I'm speaking on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 8th of October. Seems like we could be getting a decision on who the manager of Manchester United is going to be in the immediate future today, with Erik ten Hag under perhaps as big pressure as he's ever been in his post as Manchester United manager. There's a lot of speculation. There's links with Thomas Tuchel. Speculation of Ruud van Nistelrooy coming in as caretaker manager while Ineos try to work out however the hell they're going to take Manchester United forward. There's a decision maybe expected in the next 48 hours or so, potentially even shorter than that. But I did want to record a podcast just to kind of let you know my thoughts and feelings on the state of United at the moment, because it's a difficult moment. They're 14th in the Premier League table. Performances aren't seeming to improve. And results have not been great so far this season, with wins over only Fulham, Barnsley and Southampton. And, you know, after Ten Hag was given a stay of execution in the summer after winning the FA Cup by Ineos, it feels like with the start of the season that he has had and the team have had, that there could be a change looming. So I'll talk through all my thoughts on the manager situation and what I would do, how I feel around the team at the moment. As you guys know, I've been very, very pro giving Erik ten Hag time and a chance. And something has changed for me in the last couple of weeks. I'm just not really seeing how this can be continued and maintained. So look, whatever the decision is, if there is a decision made, I don't know. The speculation suggests that Ineos, Dave Brailsford, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Joel Glazer is there, Dan Ashworth, all of these people, the key decision makers in Manchester United at the moment, are meeting on Tuesday, the 8th of October, to decide what the future is of the football team and who the manager is going to be moving forward. So, yeah, it's potentially a big day, and I just want to get my thoughts and feelings out there ahead of time. But if anything does change, if there is a decision made, I'll record another podcast almost immediately after that decision is made to reflect on whatever the decision is. What I will say before I get into this is whatever the decision is, I'll support it. I think it's time that we should have trust and faith in a football leadership team that has been brought together pretty quickly over the last few months. They've barely had any time to get their feet under the table. And I feel like whatever they decide now is going to be a decision for, you know, especially the rest of the season, because it's been that bad, the start of this season. But yes, I'll get into that in a little bit. But I just wanted to say, to start with, big thanks to those of you who've been asking where this podcast is. And I do apologize that I haven't recorded a podcast over the last couple of weeks. Couple of reasons for it, which I'll get into in a second, but you can subscribe to the channel on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple, the Promised Land and Manchester United podcast. Please do so if you haven't done so already. Drop me a review, drop me a comment. Follow me on social media as well, at @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok, and Instagram. Please drop me a follow on Instagram if you haven't done so already. You need to build that following. But it's been a difficult couple of weeks for me, so I'll talk a little bit personal to start with. Nothing too major has happened. I have been on holiday, I've been away, and took some much-needed time off work. And in case you don't know, I do work in football. I work for a football media company. And I'm sure, as you can guess, with all the results around Manchester United at the moment, the speculation over the manager, it seems to be that we're stuck in a constant wave of negativity. And the only thing that really fixes it is wins, but as maybe Chelsea are showing, the only thing that seems to fix it is wins, but it seems like we're in a period at the moment of just a constant wave of negativity. Any positive performance that isn't backed up by another positive performance leads to even more speculation. And we're at the point that we are now because everything around Man United has got so, you know, toxic. There's so much doom around the team at the moment that I feel like maybe we're reaching a point where a decision has to be made. But in the meanwhile of that, you know, working in football and having to talk about that negativity a lot, it's affected me a little bit. And I'm kind of at a point where, you know, I did need to escape that. And I do apologize because what my role is supposed to be, or the way that I do position myself, I guess, is that I'm meant to be that voice that kind of cuts through the negativity and gives you some kind of like measured feeling, never too high, never too low, right? But I've been feeling a little bit disconnected from football at the moment. And I think most of you probably are feeling like that at the moment. But I can't sit here and do that constant shout for the manager to lose his job. Or, you know, you see that online quite often, and living in that space, working in that space is kind of difficult sometimes. So that's why I had a pre-scheduled holiday around the Tottenham game and obviously the two Europa League games that United have played recently. And I just felt like it was time to have a break because I felt like I needed it. It's been a little too much for me, but I needed that time to kind of get my head around things and to, you know, come back feeling fresh and being able to provide you with that, you know, relatively measured take. I've not been in a right headspace for it, I don't think. So I do apologize for that. I really should have given you a heads up, but like living on in social media, in a social media world around the team that, you know, I think everyone will say that United's press coverage at the moment is just, that has been for years, is just really, really awful to kind of like live around. And some people can thrive in that. I'm not one who can. But that's basically my feeling. So I had a pre-scheduled holiday and I just felt like it was the right time to have a break. But I have been watching United during that time. And one thing has changed for me during that time. So like, obviously, I think I said it at the start of the podcast, whatever decision that Ineos make in this meeting today, I will support and I will back, because I feel like what we need to do is trust in a team of, let's be real, like experts that have been brought into Man United over the past few months and give them time to get their feet under the table and make the right decisions. But not every single decision is going to work immediately. The decision that they make today, I think is, I'll tell you what, I think they will make the change. I think they will make the change. And maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we've reached that point now where Erik ten Hag has kind of had his chance at the start of this season to stamp his authority on the team, and we've not really seen any changes. So, you know, there have been a few performances recently. The Tottenham one in particular was, I think, a big one for me, which has altered my stance on what the right approach is with the manager. And I'll talk about that in a little while. But, you know, I just want to say a big thanks to those of you who have reached out. And I would like to apologize again that I haven't. I've kind of just disappeared, but it's maybe been more from a personal perspective. I needed to kind of get my head right to be able to come back and talk properly and not emotionally, but I think maybe take some of the emotion out of it, because it's been a difficult time. It's a difficult time for all United fans at the moment. There's so much football as well. I'm kind of burned out with football in itself. It just seems to never ever stop, and you know, I've just needed to disconnect a little bit and come back to it. So I do apologize for going off radar a little bit for a couple of weeks, but I am back now, and I do plan to come back with the regularity of what I was promising initially. So yeah, big thanks to everyone who has reached out. And that's essentially my reason why I've been away. But let me just talk about how I'm feeling around United at the moment and why I'm back and where I stand on the managerial situation at the moment. If you followed me on X, if you don't, please do. But if you haven't, I think I've outlined my feelings in a few words on there around where United stand at the moment. And I feel like it's the right time. Given where we are, we're in October, the second international break of the season. And I think it's the right time for a change. So we will see what decision Ineos make in these meetings today. Who knows when that communication will be made on whether Ten Hag stays or goes. I'd imagine it'd be in the next couple of days, but we will see. And if it isn't officially done, I'm sure there will be somebody who's close to the club in any aspect that will bring us what has been decided in that meeting before something is made official. Now, for what it's worth, I hope that whatever decision is made is communicated clearly and swiftly, and that United can move forward and put the speculation to bed no matter what happens as soon as they possibly can, because there's another game coming up. Football resumes again in 11 days' time, 19th of October, at home to Brentford, who seem to be scoring in the first minute of every match they ever play at the moment. So Thomas Frank is one of those who's been linked with this job. He'll be rocking up at Old Trafford, whatever happens in the next couple of weeks on the 19th of October. But if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, especially when me and Rob were shooting the breeze about managerial situations at United and the performances, Rob, in the middle of last season, I think, had come to this conclusion, but I was always firm and I said, Erik ten Hag needs time. Ten Hag needs to... There's circumstances around the team with injuries and this kind of thing that are holding his team back and holding him back from playing football in the style that he wants to see played. But I was always in the camp of give him time and give him an opportunity to show what he can do. Now, he won the FA Cup at the back end of last season, obviously, with a really good performance at Wembley after one of United's worst seasons in Premier League history, if not the worst. I can't remember exactly. But there were so many other circumstances around the team at that point that I felt like he wasn't getting a fair crack of the whip. And for what it's worth, even now, I will sit here and say, I feel like Ineos' decision to keep Ten Hag in the summer, that was what I wanted. And it's still what I felt Erik ten Hag deserved, because I feel like winning two trophies in your first two seasons and having one good season and one bad, albeit with two trophies, one in each season, justified the decision to keep him at the helm and keep him in charge. Now, that was conditional. I firmly wanted to see ten Hag stay in charge, and like, obviously, if it was for the duration of this season to come, then I felt like that would be the fairest crack of the whip that he could get. But the first three games of the season before the first international break were, you know, they weren't as good as we wanted to see. Obviously, two defeats in the first three games, beating Fulham and then losing to Brighton late on, and then losing in the way that United did to Liverpool. That was when the pressure ramped up. But I remember feeling at that time, after that game, that as bad as things were looking, there was a run of, I think, seven games between the September and October international breaks, and we're at the end now of that block of games. I said at the time that there's a fixture list coming up where United are, and Ten Hag especially for me, has to show improvement. And that was kind of where I stood with it. And you can argue, yes, that there have been some games where we have seen United play to, you know, a really good standard. There have been patches in matches like the first 45 minutes at Palace where the team are putting in the kind of performance which I think we expect and we want to see from a Ten Hag team. And if that can be maintained, then great. And that's what we can all get behind. There's reason to believe that United are moving in the right direction here. But that was relatively short-lived. You know, there was a 7-0 win over Barnsley, which I think is, yeah, great. And, you know, we could at least enjoy that one. But that is Barnsley at the same time. And the real test would be in some of the matches that United have had over the past week or two. You know, there's been Europa League fixtures. They've kicked off. And the Tottenham game at home and the Aston Villa game away. And I feel like these would be, and I still maintain this, these were good barometers to show where United were under Ten Hag. There's a couple of injuries, obviously, but all of the problems, mostly outside of Luke Shaw, all of the injury problems that United have had throughout last season have been, they're not there, basically. And I understand Ten Hag's approach on, you know, rotation and making sure that United have their players fit enough to be able to maintain, you know, a relatively fully fit squad for the amount of fixtures that they're getting, because these games come thick and fast. It's what, Thursday, Sunday, or whatever it is, Wednesday, Saturday. United are in the Europa League, so chances are it's going to be most Thursday nights. But it's this 7-game period was for me a time where I wanted to see better football and better results, better performances, and things that I could stand by and say, right, I can now definitively tell you that I think United are moving in the right direction under this manager. And simply put, the 20 game was, I didn't catch it in full, obviously, because I was traveling. But I did think at the time that maybe there was a little bit of an overreaction. But I think something changed after that game, according to like what I seen, the reaction to it. So I think the faith was broken in that moment. And then what I did manage to catch while I was away was that home game against Tottenham. And to go down within 3 minutes or so with a centre-back running through your entire team in your third season, and losing in the manner that United did. I know Bruno Fernandes got sent off at 1-0, and maybe had he stayed on the pitch, that would have been a different game. But Tottenham were by far the better team that day. Absolutely by far. It was humiliating. And how many of those can we stomach? I think that was the final straw for me. So that was when I came to the decision that I'm talking about now. This is Tottenham, by the way. And I don't want to go and, you know, throw insults around, but you saw what happened to Tottenham at the weekend against Brighton. 2-0 up, lose 3-2. And that's the type of team that United were playing that day. And United got absolutely pulverized by Tottenham. They had they had some of their chances, but they were never in control. I never felt like they were in control at any point during that game. And Tottenham absolutely wiped the floor with United. And that was the point where I lost faith. Then we go on to see United go away in Europe, up 2-0. And again, I was traveling at this point, so we didn't actually watch the game, but I could see it happening. I was getting goal updates through my phone while I was at the airport and saw United went 2-0 up, and I was like, oh, great. And then the first goal went in Porto, and I was like, you know what's going to happen here. You just know what's going to happen here because you've seen it happen so many times before over the last couple of years. And what do you know? They fall down 3-2. Albeit in the end, Harry Maguire gets an equaliser and it ends up 3-3. But 2 points from the first two Europa League games, with FC 20 in the first game, getting a point at Old Trafford and celebrating it. We should not be at that point now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't think we should be at that point now where United, with regularity, dropping points like that and playing football like that. We needed to see, simply, in this 7-game stretch, from that game against Southampton, which was good. But Southampton are not a good football team in Premier League terms at the moment. They're probably going to get relegated, and you shouldn't really get too carried away with that. Even the first half an hour on that day, United were much better. And then it took a penalty save from Andre Onana and a goal shortly afterwards to kind of turn the tide. I think the seven games that were just played was my litmus test, essentially, in my own mind. That was the stretch of games where I thought, I need to see something. I really need to see something here. We need to see improved performances and improved results. And we only got them in a couple of matches that United should be winning at a canter anyway. The games where United were that were potentially tricky, or that you needed to see an uptake in performance against rivals who were a lot stronger, we didn't see it. We didn't see it. The Aston Villa game on Sunday as well, and I've seen it's been praised in some quarters for United keeping a clean sheet. Aston Villa just got off the back of like one of the biggest wins in club's history in the Champions League against Bayern Munich last Wednesday. And Aston Villa were off colour on that day. I think that game of football was as bad a game of football as I've seen in a long time. And that's not something that should be praised or celebrated. United are now 14th in the Premier League table. And Ten Hag had some time to show that he could get it right and he could improve. And I haven't seen enough. I've not seen enough. And we're approaching 8-ish games now after the next international break from the Brentford game on the 19th, which I'll read these teams out to you now. I think there's 10 games up until Arsenal in December. So 10 games over 6 weeks, which if I read these teams out now and these fixtures out now, United should be winning at least 7 of these, probably 8. If United were playing at a level expected of them, you'd say United should win all these games. So let me put in perspective for you here. From the 19th of October, United's fixture list runs like this. Brentford at home in the Premier League, Fenerbahce away, Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce. West Ham away, potentially tricky one, obviously, but like West Ham's season hasn't really started very well at all, but United seem to go to West Ham a lot and lose in relatively embarrassing circumstances. Leicester at home in the League Cup. Chelsea at home in the Premier League. Difficult game, but, you know, really, United should be expecting to win their home games against big six rivals. PAOK in the Europa League at home. Leicester City at home. Ipswich Town away in the Premier League. Bodo Glimt at home in the Europa League. And then Everton at home in the Premier League before Arsenal away on December the 3rd. Now, maybe that game will be moved. It seems like United are playing on the 10th, December the 1st and then December the 3rd. I think something needs to change there. But look, that is 10 games. Brentford, Fenerbahce, West Ham, Leicester, Chelsea, PAOK, Leicester City again in the Premier League, Ipswich, Bodo Glimt and Everton. That's the next 10 games that United will play. And I looked at it and I thought, Man United being Man United, what we expect of Man United, should be winning most of those. Do I have any faith currently with how things are, knowing that players are fully fit, having seen the level of performance that United have put in against teams who are both weaker and as strong as them, maybe? Do I expect and do I think that Erik ten Hag's United over these next 10 games can go and win all of those? I don't. I simply don't. I think Fenerbahce away to Jose Mourinho, you know, I go there, current circumstances with level of performance, and you see the narrative written up there. You see Fred scoring a winner and Man United getting embarrassed by their former manager and former player. Then you see West Ham away on the Sunday, and you think, they've had a really poor start to the season. I know they just beat Ipswich, but they've had a poor start to the season. West Ham, big summer, obviously. And it's not clicked for them so far up until the point of them playing Ipswich, but that is Ipswich. United went there last season and got embarrassed again. And I could see that happening again. So then you kind of, And then Brentford, obviously, the first game of that, and I've said in the podcast already that they're scoring in the first minute of matches all the time at the moment, so it seems. And you could essentially see that continuing. I don't have any faith that United can keep clean sheets in those games and that United can attack with penetration for a sustained period of time in those matches, that United can score goals in each of those matches. It seems like they're scoring lots of goals in the Europa League, threes and fours, or in Europe, threes and fours everywhere, but they still can't win, especially away from home. And they've only scored 5 goals in the Premier League so far this season in 7 matches. 3 of those goals came against Southampton. This is the point for me. I think this is the point where the time is right to change manager. And I'm not going to flip-flop and say that United should have made the change in the summer, because I advocated for Ten Hag to get time and get a chance to prove that he could do it with a fully fit team, and to prove, or have a chance to prove, that his methods with a fully fit squad can work. Over that 7-game period, I did not have any evidence to suggest that it can. I think something is broken within the relationships between the players and the manager at the moment. I think that's pretty obvious. It's not coming out. It doesn't look like a harmonious place at the moment. And if I'm losing faith in it, and maybe a lot of fans have probably been at this point for a long time, and if you have been, then fine. And I'm not going to go and say you were right, or like maybe you were. Maybe you've had this vibe and you've had this feeling for a long time, and I'm late to the party. But something seems to be broken. Something seems to be broken in there, and people don't look happy. The players don't look happy. It feels like the fun's been sucked out of the camp, even though you see training videos of people laughing and smiling. But on the pitch, it just doesn't translate. It does not come out. And I think with the next 10 fixtures that are coming up, if United go through these fixtures with the level of performances that we've seen and that we've become accustomed to over the last season and 7 matches, United are going to stay 14th or potentially be lower. And what if United go into, if United stay with the next manager or stay with Ten Hag, go into these matches and then draw with Brentford, lose at Fenerbahce and West Ham, which is completely conceivable at this point, given the feeling around the team at the moment. You dread to think. And then United will probably, if that results pattern plays out, the pressure after that West Ham game will be to the point where, oh my God, like, this is crisis at an even deeper level than we're at now. I really dread to think. I don't have any faith, really, that United go into those matches as it stands and put performances in and get the results that they should be getting. So that's kind of where I stand at the moment. I think the time is right for a change. We're in an international break. There's 2 weeks where Ineos are meeting and the managerial situation is on the agenda. For what it's worth, and maybe, like I say, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think the vibe seems to be that the time has come. And I think Ten Hag, as much as I've backed him, I have absolutely backed him, and I've advocated for time. For me, and I'll say this again, the time to prove himself, to extend my belief, essentially, was the last 7 games, the patch of matches between the September and October international breaks. That was the crucial period for me, where I wanted to see that United were building and that there was faith to believe that United for the remainder of the season could be moving in a positive direction. I just haven't had it. And the fact that United can go to Aston Villa and get a draw and get praised for it, it's just not good enough for me. Like, in different circumstances, if United had gone to Aston Villa and drawn 0-0 with the performance that they put in the other day, but they weren't 14th in the table, they were 6th in the table, or they were 5th in the table, having seen that United were putting in strong performances in other matches before that, it would be different. But it just, something's broken for me. Something is broken. And look, I completely understand if you're still in the Ten Hag camp and the concern about, oh, running through another manager, what's actually going to change. We're going to return to this point at some point in the next 18 months, 2 years. You know, I think that's a valid point. It is a valid point, but there just always comes a time really where you need that uplift. And I don't think United are getting it, but I think I do think a change in management at the moment ahead of the next 10 games can go a long way to being able to fix the season. Because United are, I think they're only 6 points off top four. They're in 14th. But put it this way, if United change manager and you have that immediate uplift and these players start playing to the levels that you expect them to play in a system that is functional, that they can get behind, there probably will be a manager lift. And how temporary that is remains to be seen. But United can't be 14th. We can't spend a season again languishing between 8th and 14th or 6th or whatever it is. United have got to be in that conversation to get in the Champions League. They simply have to be. And maybe there's some of you out there who listen to me and listen to this podcast because of my essential belief that managers should have time. And I still fundamentally believe that. But I think Ten Hag has had enough, you know, and it's not unreasonable to suggest that we should be seeing better than we're seeing. We should be. So that's kind of where I stand. And we will have, obviously, the decision made, I would imagine, at some point on Tuesday, perhaps in the afternoon. And maybe this podcast will be out of date by that time. And maybe it'll be out of date pretty quickly because, you know, if decisions are made pretty swiftly and communication is made pretty swiftly, then the decision will move on, the process will move on, and then we'll be talking about a new manager, potentially. But maybe Ten Hag gets the season after all, and we just wait and see how things go. And if that is the case, then while my faith is gone, I'm not going to go and shout about it and say the club have no idea what they're doing. There seems to be no in between, you know. Just trying to explain where I am with the managerial situation at the moment, but I'm not going to go and spread the kind of negativity that has meant that I haven't been able to, or haven't wanted to, essentially record a podcast while I've been away and been on holiday. You know, it's a really, really difficult atmosphere to be in at the moment. It's a difficult space to be in. It's difficult to want to watch Man United at the moment. It's difficult to spend your time talking about Manchester United at the moment because it just seems like we're in this never-ending cycle of uplift to poor performance and sacking the manager. And I think maybe we're at that point again, but Ineos's job is to make sure that we do not reach that point again with whoever the next manager is in 2-3 years time. That's Ineos's job. Correct the culture and make sure that this pattern ends and that United start playing with a level of performance that is expected of the team of players that United have got. Look, whatever that decision is, I'll back it and support it. And we should have trust and faith in what this team of people are going to do. But for me, I'm just kind of trying to explain really where I stand with this and where I stand with the manager at the moment. I don't think Erik ten Hag is a bad coach. Like, I think there are cultural issues that he was tasked with fixing that he hasn't been able to fix on his own. But unfortunately for him, he's come in at a time where he's having to prove himself. He was given that contract extension as an indicator that, like, you have time. But I think it had to be conditional. And I think the condition was that we saw almost an immediate uplift from what we saw last season. We haven't had it. So that's where I stand. And I completely support wherever you are. If you listen to this, if you're still firmly in the Ten Hag camp and you want to see him have a chance, I completely get that. And there's a part of me that still wants to see that as well, because I do have some faith that he can turn it around. But I think most of that faith that I did have over the last 7 games has gone. It has. And maybe we sit here at the end of November, he stays in as manager and United do actually turn around and lift everything up under Ten Hag. But I can't say with any confidence that I feel that that will happen at the moment. And maybe the people who are in the decision-making process with Ineos and who are running the club at the moment, maybe they feel the same way. But whatever happens, you know, I can't go through the next 10 games and come out in a position that they are now. It's just not going to cut it. We're at a point where it's not too late to salvage the season. And it's how do you go about doing it? Which manager do you go about doing it with? That is the most important decision to be made. I'm sure one will be made today on Tuesday or in the next couple of days and be communicated. But, you know, it's a big moment United have reached. It's a big moment. And look, for what it's worth, I think that they will make this change. And I'll talk about in greater depth in a next episode. Depends when this decision is communicated and made. I'll be back to talk about things and reflect on it. But I just wanted to outline today where I stand on the manager situation and where I stand on the club at the moment and what I would do moving forward. But whatever decision is made, whenever it's made, I'll be back to talk through some thoughts. For what it's worth, and I'll save this for another episode, unless it's completely ruled out, I think the right move here is change the manager and Thomas Tuchel is there. If you can't get Julian Nagelsmann, it would be my first choice. Thomas Tuchel is there and you can expect an immediate uplift. Probably. You probably can. He's one of the best coaches in the world and he's been after this job for a long time. There are other circumstances, obviously, and potential fallouts and all this kind of thing that we could talk about and that is a very, very valid concerns. But I think Thomas Tuchel is tailor-made for the job in the current state that United are in. The most important thing at the moment is uplifting performances and uplifting results and getting United back to around fifth, fourth, third in the league table. Maybe even third is a little bit too far away at the moment, but the quality of United's team is much better than 14th in the league. We need to see improvement. And I feel like that is the best way to go about having that immediate marked improvement after the international break. And how that is sustained down the line is Ineos' job to decide and to ensure that the culture is in place, that these kind of dips that we're seeing don't consistently happen with every manager. So that's where I stand at the moment. Let me know what you think and where you stand on the managerial situation in the comments. Get in touch with me on social media at @_ScottSaunders on Instagram, TikTok, and X as well. We await and see what the decision is. Maybe at some point today. Maybe you listen to this and the decision's already been made. But, you know, that's where I stand. Let me know where you stand. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube as well. And until next time, everyone, it might be very, very soon that I see you if this decision is made pretty quickly. But big day and a big week for Man United on the managerial situation. I'm Scott from the Promised Land podcast. I'll see you very soon, everyone. And big thanks for all the support, again, that you've shown me recently. This has been the Promised Land. Until next time, I'm Scott.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.